Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, Florida, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is John Pereira, pastor of Central Florida Bible Church. You may wish to have paper and pencil handy for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. Now, here's Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Have you ever wondered if God listens to your prayers? Today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, we're going to be looking at the seven essentials of prayer. We're going to be looking at what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Here in this prayer, we do not have liturgy, but rather we have a model prayer that our Lord provides for us. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Does God listen to your prayers? Have you sometimes felt like it's a waste of time and that the heavens are closed to your petitions? Consider the following true story. When Franklin Roosevelt was president of the United States, he often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. One day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work! We're proud of you! God bless you, sir!" Well, it was not till the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Unimpressed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming." You know, despite of how you feel or what you might think, be assured God is listening to your prayers. And since God is listening, how then should we pray? Well, there are two extremes in our views regarding the Lord's Prayer. Some people look at the Lord's Prayer as rote repetition, a matter of liturgy. But actually, the Lord condemns that type of prayer. He said, "When you pray, don't use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Another extreme in the understanding of the Lord's Prayer is demonstrated by those who relegate the prayer as totally referring to the Lord's future earthly kingdom with no application for today. On the contrary, the Lord is giving us a model prayer. And he gives seven characteristics that all of our prayers ought to be characterized by. Well, let's take a look at these seven characteristics. And let's see what the Word of God has to say ought to characterize the basic elements of our prayer. The first characteristic of biblical prayer, as we can see from the Lord's model prayer here, number one, is that we ought to pray with an expectant attitude. When you go before the Lord in prayer, Do you pray with an expecting attitude? In verse 9, God's word says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You know, the Lord is in heaven. The word of God says the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. His ears are opened to our prayers. Jeremiah 10:10 says that the Lord is alive. It says, "But the true God, the Lord, He is the true God. He is the living God." How do I know that the Lord is alive? I spoke with Him this morning. I spoke with Him as I was driving my car to the office. He is alive. He is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Not only is He alive, but He's involved. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose." And thirdly, I know that I can pray with an expectant attitude because He cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." When we go before the throne of grace in prayer, let's pray with an expectant attitude. Bishop Trench, well known for his Greek study on synonyms of the New Testament, writes, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold upon His willingness." Doesn't the Word of God say in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think? So let's go before the throne of grace with an expectant attitude. Our Father, which art in heaven. But the second characteristic of biblical prayer that ought to characterize our prayer life is not only to pray with an expectant attitude, but to also pray with a heart full of worship. Because the Lord's Prayer continues when it says, "Hallowed be Thy name." You know, we need to remind ourselves to whom we are praying when we pray to the Lord. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your genie where you can rub the side of your Bible and get anything that you want. He's not your puppet. He's our Creator. He's the Sovereign of the universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Do you come before His throne of grace with a heart full of worship? When we place all of our cares and meditate in our God and see Him as our Creator, the Sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, then we are elevated above our earthly cares. Oh, how we need to see the transcendent God as the focal point. Don't just barge in your prayer life with your needs. Come before Him, worship Him, meditate upon His attributes, and soon you will be lifted heavenward, where then you can see your earthly needs from a heavenly perspective. Malachi 1:11 says, "For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, My name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering, for My name shall be great among the people, saith the Lord of hosts." Oh, are you willing to come before Him in worship? Thirdly, another characteristic of our prayers ought to be agreement with God. You see, the Word of God says in verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We need to agree with God. And we need to agree with God in two areas. First of all, we need to agree with His plan, And then we need to agree with his purpose. What is God's plan? Thy kingdom come. The Lord is preparing his heavenly kingdom. And we, as God's children, are chronological phenomenons walking this earth. We are citizens of his heavenly kingdom, having been translated by the precious resurrected Savior. Let us then agree with his plan. Every time we lead a soul to Christ, we are leading someone from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Lord's majestic reign. Agree with his plan, thy kingdom come. Agree with his purpose, thy will be done. Some people think that praying for the will of God is some type of a spiritual cop-out. But you know, the Apostle John didn't think so. In 1 John 5:14, he said, "This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Look at Christ's example in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed in Matthew 26 and verse 39, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 27, the Word of God tells us that even the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God. Romans 8:27 says, "He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Even the disciples in Acts chapter 21, when they knew that God was calling the Apostle Paul to go to Jerusalem, they said, "The will of the Lord be done," in Acts 21 and verse 14. The greatest of our prayers is to ask for God's will to be done in our lives. And when we're praying filled with the Spirit of God, God will change our wanter to seek the will of the Lord. So biblical praying, according to the Lord's model prayer, is to pray with an expectant attitude. Number two, pray with a heart full of worship. Thirdly, agree with God. Fourthly, then bring your needs. Petition God for your needs. Here in verse 11 it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, the word "give" teaches us the ownership of God. You see, he's the one to whom we depend upon. This day, give us this day, teaches us to pray about the needs, not for tomorrow, not to worry about the future. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And we're to pray for our daily bread. God provided manna for his children daily. We need to pray for his daily provision. The fifth characteristic of biblical prayer, according to our Lord's model prayer, is confession of our sin. Here the Lord says, "Forgive us our sins," or our debts, "as we forgive our debtors." And you know, this implies three things when we look at the confession of our sins. Number one, we ought to practice daily confession to God. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confessing your sins means being specific about those sins and naming them. The second thing that confession of our sins implies is that we need to have faith to believe that the Lord is willing to instantly forgive our sins when we're ready to confess and forsake them. But there's a third implication in this forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to be willing to forgive others. Jesus said in Matthew 6:14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, we're talking here not about salvation forgiveness, which removes the guilt and the penalty of sin. But in this context of the Lord's Prayer, we're dealing with fellowship forgiveness, the daily cleansing that a child of God needs in his life to provide the daily forgiveness of sin that we need to have. I'm mindful of Matthew chapter 18, when the Lord gave a parable on the need to forgive. You recall the parable that is given in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, when Peter came to Jesus and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? The rabbis had a practice of forgiving three times, and they based it on the Lord's forgiveness of the enemies of Israel in Amos chapter 1. And actually, Peter thought that he was being very magnanimous when he said seven times. But the Lord gave a parable. And he basically said here, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed 10,000 talents. And for as much as he had not to pay his Lord, he commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. This debt was approximately $10 million, and his family would have been sold into slavery because he could not pay it. But the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion when the servant asked for forgiveness, and we know that he loosed him and forgave him all of that debt of $10 million. Then the servant turned around and went to one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which would be about $12,000. And he went up to him and laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me all that you have. And his fellow servant fell down and besought him and begged him to have patience so that he could pay it all. But he wouldn't, and he cast him into prison. Well, when the Lord, the king, heard that that forgiven servant had been so unmerciful unto his other fellow servant, he said, should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? And he delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. You see, the king was not willing to forgive him when he was not willing to forgive his fellow servant. You know, the world's worst prison is an unforgiving heart. And it's pictured as a tormentor in verse 34. The key here is that forgiven people ought to be forgiving people. I want you to notice. Notice here in verse 13, we have the sixth element to the Lord's Prayer, and that is deliverance from Satan's influence. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here the idea is that a child of God, knowing how prone he is to wander, beseeches the Lord for his mercy and guidance. We know the imagery of Job when he was accused by the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. And we know that by divine permission that Satan was allowed to afflict Job. But yet Job trusted in God and found victory. And here the child of God in the Lord's Prayer is saying, "Don't sorely test me. Knowing my weaknesses, Lord, I cast myself at your feet for your protection and your deliverance." Then the seventh aspect of the Lord's Prayer, and that is of giving God the praise. It says, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You see, prayer time ought to be praise time. Let's praise the Lord for His grace, His goodness, and the fact that we know from what the Word of God teaches, the best is yet to come. So I ask you today, are your prayers characterized by the basic seven elements that the Lord gives us in His model prayer? When you pray, do you pray with an expectant attitude? "Lord, you're alive. You're in heaven. You're involved in my life. You are my sovereign. And Lord, I come to you knowing that you will answer." Then secondly, a heart full of worship. Do you go before the Lord? Before treading in with your personal needs, worship Him. Sit at His feet. Look to Him. Meditate upon His great power and attributes. Oh, the pressure and the burden will begin to lift as you see your trial from God's heavenly perspective. Thirdly, agreement with God. Agree with His plan. God is bigger, and His concerns are bigger than your trials. They are all inclusive in the building of His kingdom. Are you willing to realize that even through your trials, God can accomplish greater purposes, that His word might enlarge His kingdom in bringing people to Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Agree with His purpose. "Thy will be done." Fourthly, petition God then for your needs. It is now that your heart is prepared to present your needs once you have worshipped the Lord God and His attributes. Then prompt confession of sin. So important as we go before the throne of grace. For the Word of God says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Then the prayer for deliverance from Satan's power. Oh, we need His deliverance. We need the Lord's deliverance from temptation, and we need the Lord's deliverance from the evil one. And then in our prayer, give Him the praise. Exalt His name for what He is doing in our lives. I trust that you have a systematic and daily prayer relationship with the Lord. I would encourage you that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you come before His throne of grace. Receive Jesus Christ. Call upon Him as your personal Savior. Because the Word of God reminds us in 1 Peter 3:12, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." You need to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to your life by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Become His child. His ears are open then to your prayers. Call upon Him. Receive Him as the one who died on the cross of Calvary for you. Speaking to believers, if you've received Christ as personal Savior, have you taken time as God's child to pray daily, to be in the Word of God, to be faithful in communion and fellowship with the Lord? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for this time in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, where we're able to reflect upon the truths of the Lord's Prayer. May we be faithful in practicing and incorporating these seven elements to our prayers as we come daily before your throne of grace. We ask for your leadership and needing and meeting of each and every need in hearts represented this day. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, Florida, just three traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. You may also call Pastor John at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 o'clock and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.
This is Pastor John Pereira from the Central Florida Bible Church with a special note of praise and request for prayer for our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. As you may know, our Strength for Today broadcast is currently heard on both WTLN and WHIM respectively. We're on WHIM on Saturday mornings 10:30 a.m. and also on WTLN 950 on the dial on Saturday evenings at 8:30 p.m. This covers a good portion of our Central Florida area. What some of you as listeners may not be aware of is that through our internet ministry, we're able to webcast all of our church's messages, well over 400 of them, as well as the Strength for Today broadcasts around the world 24/7. We thank the Lord that we've received responses from countries such as the United Kingdom, Denmark, Saudi Arabia, Africa, India, South Korea, Singapore, as well as France and the Philippines. And of course, throughout our beloved United States of America. Please pray for our radio ministry that God's Word would have free course and that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be exalted. And you come worship with us in the house of the Lord at Central Florida Bible Church tomorrow.